The following podcast contains mature language and discussions that are not suitable for younger audiences. The stories in this podcast are not our own, but we have permission to narrate them. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to the Strange and Undecided podcast. I'm your host, Jarrett, joined by my co-host,
Pat.
So today we're going to read for you some more scary stories.
These were a hit. You guys liked them. We're doing them again.
So just some housekeeping items to start with. Next week, there will be no podcast. It's Easter for us. I'm going to be spending time with my family, and I think you're spending some time with yours as well. But the week after, we will be back. I actually have a special guest coming on the show, and I'm going to be doing an interview one-on-one with him, and look forward to seeing that. All right, so let's get into the creepy stories. The Doll in the Storage Room by Leader of Decepticons. When I was younger, I'd go visit my grandparents all the time. They lived in a one-floor house with an unfinished basement. I never liked it down there. It felt small for a big basement. There was a little door down there that was for storage, and I always got the horrible feeling when going close to it. And let me add, this was a newer house that was only about 6 years old. Now, during the time I was about 6 or 7, I felt so uncomfortable going down there, even when I was with someone, I didn't like it. I remember going down there with my grandma to help me with something. She had to run upstairs because someone rang the doorbell. She said she would be right back, even though she knew how I felt about being alone down there. But I nodded and said, okay. She was gone, and I was alone, and I started to get a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach. I didn't move and didn't want to, even though the lights were on now. This is where everything started happening, and it still gives me chills. The lights started to flicker, and I started to hear noises and what sounded like talking, and it was not coming from upstairs, but instead the storage room. I heard someone say my name. Here's the part that freaks me out the most. The voice sounded like my grandma. I was confused as hell. How am I hearing her when she is upstairs? I didn't want to move, but me being the curious one I am, I started moving towards the storage room door. The closer I got, the worse I felt. When I got to the door, the lights turned off in the basement. I wanted to run upstairs and hide, go home somewhere that wasn't the basement. I heard my name again for the second time. My grandma's voice asking me to open the door to help her. So I did it, and I regret it. I couldn't see anything as it was pitch black.
I couldn't hear anything but faint laughing, which felt like it lasted forever.
But then the laughing stopped and the lights turned back on in the basement, and I felt a little bit better. But the downside, I could see a little in the storage room. I saw a small clown doll in the storage room, and my grandma hates clowns with a passion and wants nothing to do with them. So why is there a clown doll? I have no damn idea. Then the lights turned on in the storage room. I saw red that looked like blood all over the place. I screamed and blacked out, and the next thing I knew, I was laying on the couch, my grandma looking at me and asking if I was okay. I have no idea if that was real or a dream, but it sure as hell felt real.
Elderly lady in wrong car. This is posted by user L62. Back when I was in high school, my best friend and I would basically hang out at school together because her dad was the warden of the local prison and his house wasn't even a half mile from it. Her mom was judgmental and, well, a bit hostile. It was the attitude more than anything that kept me from hanging out over at her house. She was a woman you didn't mess with. One day, my friend said her mother came home white as a ghost the night before because when she and her friends had come out of the grocery store halfway to her car, they stopped and noticed someone in the back seat. She was thinking it was her daughter, but as she stepped closer, she saw that it was an elderly woman. Well, she started to go to the car, but her friend stopped her and said that she probably got off the bus from the assisted living center and she had better call the police and let them handle it. Well, she did, and within minutes, because they were practically around the block, the police car pulled up and she pointed to her car. The officer walked up to the window and she watched as the officer snatched the door open and literally yanked the old woman out and pushed her against the car and frisked her. My friend's mom was horrified until the officer snatched the wig off the man's head. She was frantic now because if it hadn't been for her friends, she would have gotten in and offered her a ride home, her words. So check your backseat, people.
My first sleep paralysis story, by the Stevie Games. I don't remember exactly when this was. I'm pretty sure it was around March of 2018. I was 12 years old and in seventh grade. I often listened to and read scary stories online about things like sleep paralysis, but I never thought it would happen to me. So before I had woken up, I was having a strange dream. I was playing Counter-Strike, but I felt like I wasn't playing and it was real. I was shooting some targets, and then I blacked out for a second. I woke up on the main road that goes into my neighborhood and saw that the road was gone. The houses on my street were very small, two-story box houses. There were elderly people standing out front of the houses, all reading a newspaper. And the sign at the front of my neighborhood only read, Brooke G, with the rest crumbling off. I then appeared at my morning bus stop for school looking at my phone. Everything was normal until a bush that normally isn't there screamed at me. I remember clearly feeling as though this was normal, so I screamed back, and we went back and forth until I woke up with the scream echoing in my ears. I was in my bed looking against the wall, unable to move. I hadn't realized that I was experiencing sleep paralysis, but I was still too freaked out by that screaming to fall back asleep. I lay there not hearing anything for about 5 minutes. I then heard what sounded like heavy boots hitting the ground out in my living room, coming towards my bedroom area. Just so you know, outside my bedroom, there is a hallway. On the left is the bathroom, and at the end of the hallway is my parents' room. At the end on the right is a door that goes to my living room. The footsteps grew closer, coming to the hallway and then my parents' room. At that moment, I remembered my dad was out of town on a business trip, so it was just me, my mom, and my 7-year-old brother. I heard the walking start up again and come towards my room. The door opened, and whatever was out there came in, walked to the side of my bed, and stared at me. I closed my eyes and began to pray. I'm not really religious, but it's the only thing I could think to do. After what felt like hours, I tried to turn over to look and see if anyone was there. I rolled over with my eyes still closed to give the impression to anyone that was standing there that I was still asleep. I finally opened my eyes and began to squint. The coast was clear. I crawled out of my bed slowly and looked at the clock. 4:14 a.m. Dang, I got school tomorrow, I thought. I tiptoed over to my door and grabbed a decorative oar that my mom had put on the wall in my room and walked out into the hallway. The living room door was open and the light was on, which was not normal, especially when my dad's out of town. I checked the bathroom and peeked around the corner of the door. Nobody. So I made a silent sprint into my mom's room, putting the oar down on the floor. I shook her awake, quietly whispering her name. Mama, I think there's someone in the house. I heard walking around outside my room, and I began to tear up. Realizing this all may have been in my head, and I woke my mom up for nothing. It's all right, my mom replied. We can go check the house really quick. I grabbed the oar and went to check the house with my mother. There was nobody there. So I went back to bed, relieved that we were safe. and that none of that was real. I haven't had a sleep paralysis experience since, and I'm glad it wasn't worse.
A Wendigo Broke Into My House by Bloodhunter62. Before I begin, I'm a 16-year-old male. About 3 years ago, I was in Virginia visiting family over summer. We were right outside the DC area and staying in a two-story house near the freeway. On the other side of the freeway was a forest. So my mom, her boyfriend Eric, and I were all staying with Eric's parents. We had brought some night vision binoculars and decided that tonight was the perfect time to use them. So after dinner, we geared up and head out. We pass under the freeway and head into the woods. When we get about 5 minutes into the forest, we set down our bag and take out our binoculars. My mom looks around with them for a while, seeing a few squirrels here and there. She gets tired of them and passes them to me. I look around for a while, being careful not to look at the freeway for fear of being blinded. I spot something behind a tree about 50 feet to our left. I concentrate on it, trying to figure out what it is. It looks like a pale, bald, anorexic man looking straight at us from behind the tree. I get a bit uneasy, but I'm hesitant to believe it's really there. I ask Eric to take a look just in case. To my despair, he sees it too. He describes it much the same way I did. Now, Eric is a former amateur boxer and I train MMA almost every day, but neither one of us want to stick around with that thing. We start heading back to the house, crossing under the freeway. We take another look behind us as a car comes by. All three of us see glowing eyes lit up by the headlights on the other side of the freeway. We say fuck that and head back to the house. When we get back, Eric's parents are asleep and my mom and Eric go upstairs to the guest room. There's only one guest room, so I have the couch downstairs. I'm a little too excited after seeing the thing in the woods, so I end up staying up all night. Around 3 a.m., I'm watching TV and start hearing footsteps above me. I immediately remember our earlier encounter and panic a little. I try to calm down and tell myself it's just one of the dogs or maybe someone who couldn't sleep. I keep hearing the footsteps for a while until I hear a doorknob jiggle. I find it weird that they're trying to open a locked door but try to ignore it. They stop, walk around for a few more minutes, and then it's quiet again. I stay up until the sun starts coming up and then pass out. My mom wakes me up and I remember the footsteps from the night before. I describe what happened and ask if one of them got up at any time. She says no, and I think it must have been one of the dogs. That is, until she tells me the room above is the office. No one was in the office and the room stays locked at night. My heart sinks as I piece it all together. I don't know if it was that thing for sure, but I think it was. I've done a lot of research since then, trying to figure out what that thing was that night. I found two creatures that seemed to match it. I think it was either a skinwalker or a wendigo. Whichever one it was, I'm just thankful that the door was locked. I know I wouldn't be able to fight that thing no matter how tough I am.
The Man in the Truck by Lily Draws. Okay, so this happened just a few days ago when I was on a road trip with my cousin. I'll be referring to him again as James, like I have in past stories. For a quick reference, I'm 13 and female. James is 21. James and I were on a road trip from my grandmother's to my aunt's house. I have a great relationship with my cousin, so my parents let me go on trips with him occasionally. It's about a 10-hour drive, and we're about 3 hours into the drive. It was about 9 p.m. at the time. I was pretty sleep-deprived, and everything was hilarious at that moment. So when I saw this red semi-truck outside my window, I just laughed my ass off. The man in the truck was heavy set and had a long, untamed beard. He had a creepy vibe. But I waved to him. He, in turn, did a groping motion to me. Finding it more hilarious than creepy, I started laughing harder and told James the story, doing the whole groping motion and all. He looked creeped out and disgusted, but there wasn't anything either of us could do. A while later, now about 4.5 hours into our drive, James pulled into a rest stop. I walked into the bathroom, and when I came out, the man was just standing there. He looked to be at least 6 feet tall. I looked out the glass door leading into the building and saw James glaring daggers at the door. I was confused and walked back to the car. What he told me really creeped me out, so much that I started crying. Then again, I had been awake for around 20 hours at this point. The man had stared and followed me inside to the building, mumbling shit about me.
James attempted to comfort me,
but quickly said he had to go to the bathroom and went inside. A few seconds later, when I was in the car, the guy was at my window. He stared at me, a wide, creepy grin. He started saying I should go with him, and he was going to treat me good. He offered me candy and just tried to coax me into his truck. I was busy bawling my eyes out. Then, right on cue, James walks out and yells at the guy, threatening him. The guy backed off and got into his truck. He still just stared at me, the grin still on his face. We floored it out of there. We wanted to get as far away as we could from that guy. It was around 12 a.m. when we pulled into a motel to sleep. The rest of the night, till 8 a.m., was fine. Nothing really happened. Sadly, that didn't last long. When we were at a restaurant eating breakfast, the same guy sat across from us. He grinned at me once again, and James just looked pissed off. The guy walked by the table when going to the bathroom and brushed his hand on my shoulder, doing the same on the way back. A quick note, James is a chill dude and will let most anything slide, but because he's known me since I was just a baby, he's protective over me. He's not like that to even my siblings. He and I are close. He was obviously pissed off before, but at that point, he stood up from his seat and walked over to the guy's table. He started yelling at him about how he better stop following us and back off of me. He made no threats, but did curse a lot. I felt pretty nervous and just wanted to go. The guy stood up and smacked James and yelled how I was leading him on. Keep in mind, this guy is about 6 foot and James was 6'8". Their argument continued until the cops came and separated it. They got the story and came to the conclusion that because he was assaulted, we could press charges. He said no, and we just continued that day. The rest of the trip was pretty bland. The guy wasn't seen for the rest of it. However, James did follow me like a bodyguard wherever we went. Even though he was protecting me, I was still terrified.
I think the water plant is haunted by Big Country Red, 1993. Hello, everyone. I'm a water treatment plant operator. Been doing this about a decade. I've been the night shift guy my whole career. The nights are normally quiet and can be boring if everything is going to plan. My plant has a few different builds. The oldest is 60 or so years old. The main building I spend the majority of my shift in is only roughly 20 years old. For more backstory of the area, this used to be a booming, energized area. This area was littered with railroad tracks and drifters coming and going on the trains of yesteryear. Our farms and factories were very bountiful back then. Now that you all understand that, you must also understand that with success in an area, there is also a darkness. From the settling of the area, wars and natives, and even into the 30s and 40s of people being killed in train wrecks and bad business deals, the grounds are laced with the darkness. The silence of the night shift can be eerie all on its own. Lots of bumps and bangs in the dimly lit darkness. On the night I'm now about to speak about, everything started out as normal. I came in around sunset, got the nightly Passover, and began my work. Around midnight, I had to do my rounds around the property while getting the nightly pump numbers. I made my rounds with nothing but a flashlight around the main building. The oldest building is a good walking distance away from the main building. I sat out in the dark headed for that building. I must also add that we weren't in the nicest area of town. However, I'm a big guy and can hold my own. As I made my walk, I got an uneasy feeling. I had gotten them before, but I have a job to do and nothing came out of it. I rounded the corner and unlocked the door. As I did this, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Again, I have a job to do though. I opened the door and there stood nothing. I walked in and proceeded to get my numbers. I turned around to walk to the exit. As I turned to shut the door, I looked down the hallway to see a woman in pure white looking at me through the other door. I almost jumped out of my boots and pissed myself a little. I fell backwards. As I came back to reality, I once again made eye contact with this entity. As I met her gaze, everything in me said, "Hey, your life is in danger, buddy." Her face distorted and started to shift around. I was now frozen as she shifted into what looked like an Indian warrior. Their eyes were glowing. As I got to my feet, they had shifted into this huge wolf creature. The growls were chilling to say the least. It snarled, then ran towards me. I had no time to even shut the door. I ran as fast as I could, screaming bloody murder. I felt it trying to bite my backside. It got a hold of my pants leg and tore it in shreds. I stumbled and rolled, but somehow managed to come up to my feet. I darted into the main building, and as I shut the door, I felt a hard thud on the other side. I locked the doors and cowered down inside. I could hear the thing searching the building, growling and scratching at the walls. I got the courage to look out the window, just to end up face to face with the white lady again. I had the police come and sit with me until the sun came up. No one else has seen the white lady since. It's still quite freaky, but I have a job to do.
Burglary Horror Story by Big Murph 05. I live in a fairly secure area and have two dogs. One is a large Doberman and the other is a poodle. I was home alone as my parents were out for the weekend. Our dogs bark a lot as they are very protective and the neighbors hate when the dogs barked, and we would often get notes telling us to make sure that we keep the dogs quiet. One of the more threatening notes we received from my neighbor was that he would hurt the dog if they wouldn't be quiet. So my parents had them take the dogs to a kennel to avoid complications. I was home alone playing video games and watching movies for the weekend. It was the night after they had left. I was playing a video game and I think it was Rainbow Six Siege. I was playing with a few friends and I had my microphone on. I was also playing with my window open, so my friends kept telling me to stop making squeaky sounds. I questioned what he meant, and my friend said that it was a loud banging. I removed my headphones, and that was when I heard it. The sound of something slamming into the gate. I peered out the window, and there was a tall, stocky man with a black hood on, slamming his body into the fence. As the fence was weak, the wood was splitting. I decided to call the police instead of my parents, but I also decided to stay near the window. Still watching the man, I was talking to the 911 operator. The operator told me to lock myself in a room, get out of sight, and that the police officer was on his way. But curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to continue watching the man. He finally broke the wooden gate off its hinges. But he didn't enter, and he strapped something around his shoulder, and upon further inspection, I saw a hunting rifle strapped to his back. That's when I went and hid underneath the bed and listened out for anything. A loud shatter broke the silence, which was the back door smashing, followed by footsteps entering the house. The intruder sounded like he was searching for something. He was creeping up the stairs until the sound of police sirens flooded my ears. I made the stupid decision of bolting, trying to escape the house. I started to get to the stairs and turned the corner and was greeted by a large man. He gripped my neck. The police sirens got louder. I was quickly losing my breath from the man strangling me. The cloth covering his face slipped down to reveal my neighbor. I was nearly out of breath when he let me go and gripped his rifle, aimed it at me, and pulled the trigger, but it didn't fire. The dumbass left the safety on. The police kicked down the door and tased the man. The man was charged with breaking and entering and carrying an unlicensed firearm. I'm thankful that the safety was on, or this could have ended very badly.
No One Believes by Anubis Kami. I remember when I was around the age of 4, my family and I lived in a small apartment on the 4th floor, which was pretty high. The apartment was full of stupid people like drug addicts and other low-life criminals. There were no other kids in the unit, so I mainly spent my time playing with toys. One night, after my mother turned off the lights for bedtime, my whole family went to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night around 2 a.m. I was pretty thirsty, so I was going to grab a cup of water from the kitchen. But as I was pulling off my blankets, I heard noises. Noises coming from the other side of the house. Being a stupid toddler, I didn't think anything of it. So I got up and walked out of my room. The moon was lighting up the room through the open sliding door of the veranda. But then I came to the terrifying realization that the sliding door was supposed to be closed. I knew this because I was the one who closed it before bed. But at that moment, I heard those noises again, and they were coming from the kitchen. I put two and two together and realized that someone was in the house. I tried tiptoeing to my parents' room, but I looked behind me, and what I saw scared me. It was a man. A man in a costume. He looked at me and grabbed me. He was pulling my hair and putting his hand on my mouth, but I broke out of his grip and ran to my mother's room. I was too scared to say anything. The next morning, I told my mother everything, but she told me it was all just a wild nightmare. I tried to tell my dad, but he said the same. Only I know what happened, but no one else believes me. I will never forget the sack he wore over his head. And the thing that still bothers me is how did he manage to get to the 4th floor? The door was locked, and so were the windows. So did he climb the entire building? And if he did, why me?
That's going to be it for the scary stories tonight. If you have any ideas for the show or want your own story featured, please email us at strangeanduncided@gmail.com. Once again, thanks for listening.
And good night.